you remember those old, how many licks does it take to the center, get the center of a Tootsie Pop commercial?
Yeah, those were like from my childhood. Were they still running them when you were a kid?
Yeah, but it's genius. Like, why would you spend $4 million a year on marketing when you could just play the same commercial? I'm serious.
It's a good one. Is this that
it's owl, that owl.
It's like kids. It's like from the
70s. Pencil drawing, yeah.
It's that Schoolhouse Rock style.
It's exactly what it is.
Cartoon.
Yeah, it's just like that.
Yeah, of like, let's find out. One, two, three.
Yeah.
Three.
Three. The world may never know. I had a Tootsie Roll yesterday, or Tootsie Pop yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, I prefer the... I would prefer it if they didn't have the Tootsie Roll in the middle, which is funny. It defeats the purpose, but I really love the flavor of the actual sucker part of it.
Yeah, and I always liked the ones with the gum on the inside. Those are good, too.
Blow Pop?
And then
I had a Blow Pop the other day, too.
Really? Like, yeah. What's with all this candy?
It's a hard time for me right now. I don't usually eat candy.
I know. That's like,
let's be clear. I've had a Blow Pop and a Tootsie Pop.
Yeah.
And someone made me eat a Warhead the other day. So I've had three pieces of candy in the past month.
It's funny because on Monday night during your club talk, you were talking about our good buddy Austin Morgan. And Austin grew up in one of those homes that was like healthy eating. No candy was allowed. So whenever he would come to high school Bible study at the church, like the amount of candy and sweets and cookies and stuff that he would eat was obscene.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It was, and I remember this one time, Andy and Amy were like, well, Austin doesn't eat candy. And I looked at him like, no, you do not know your child. So we're on Monday, you and I are leaving to take a bunch of folks to Chicago. And I thought it would be fun, like on a little kind of short-term mission trippy kind of deal, and support our friends at the bridge. I thought it'd be fun to talk about some memories from some of those trips. Like one that stands out to me, and I think this is true not just of Chicago, but in general. You know how like sometimes high school kids, when they go to college, they'll like redo their whole personality and their whole self, like the way they dress, and like they might even like change their name a little bit. Like,
yeah,
it's their chance to start
a leather jacket my freshman year of college.
Yeah, like try something out.
Yeah,
you know, I just thought of Ted Mosby and the Baja.
Yeah, golly. Those sandwiches.
Yeah. Well, so I think when you went to Chicago one time, you were like, I'm going to try some stuff out. It was a winter trip, and you were like, you bought a toboggan and a scarf.
Yeah.
And you were like, I want to try the scarf out.
Yeah.
It's like not something is not, but before that trip, that was not something that you had ever really worn. I think that was like, I'm in a different city. I'm going to try this out. See how this works on Tomboy.
Well, yeah. And it worked.
It's very
nice. I get a scarf every year for Christmas from my sisters.
Both sisters? So you get two scarves a year at this point?
No, let's clarify. Here's how this works. Thomas buys Abby and Meredith a present each for Christmas. Abby and Meredith go in together on one present for Thomas for Christmas.
Which, didn't your scarf cost you like $4 from Old Navy? So
yep.
Abby and Meredith they're sitting on $2 a piece for you at Christmas.
Yep.
Is that that little brother life?
Yep. Yep.
Then 5 days later, do they turn around and get you a birthday present together? Wait, you don't really get birthday presents from your family.
Nope.
It's like when Vernon Dursley sends Harry like an old sock or something like that for his birthday.
Yep. But all right,
we touched a sensitive subject.
We just don't. It's fine. I don't care. Honestly, I don't care about.
I was thinking about Chicago memories.
Oh yes, Chicago memories. I remember one time walking on Michigan Avenue, and Joe Pinley hit you in the back of the head with a snowball, and you did not like it.
Really? I don't remember that.
Yeah, you got hit, and you didn't even turn around. You just kept walking.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's one of those like I'm not engaged.
Joe and I looked at each other, and we were like, "Oops."
I didn't even turn around. What trip was this?
It was one of our spring trips.
Wow, and it was still like March. Snowy?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we've been up there a lot.
Chicago's weird, man.
A lot of my favorite memories up there. Well, some of my favorite ones are. Oh man, I should have got coffee when you offered it to me.
Yeah, I mean, yawning on the podcast—that's weird.
Yeah, who would do such? It's really rude. What a jerk. That's a Gaffigan thing. He's yawning on the podcast again. That's so rude.
Can't even stay awake for his own podcast.
It must be so boring.
It shows how much he cares about it.
I do remember one time Joe Pinley and I were just like, is there a good place to eat around here? And we Googled it and found this really tiny hole-in-the-wall ramen restaurant, and yeah, it's fantastic. We've gone back a couple times since.
Well, and that was that also the same year that Bill randomly knew somebody in Chicago who had the craziest laugh ever? And you and Joe.
One time I got in an elevator in Chicago.
Oh, gosh.
It's like, I don't really get embarrassed that easily.
Do you ever start a talk with this one? Because this is a great one.
I haven't yet. I
actually forgotten about it.
I haven't yet. It'll be used. But I don't typically get embarrassed that easily. The older I get, the less embarrassed I get. That's what I've realized. Like, things that used to embarrass me, I'm just like, I don't give a crap anymore.
I'm so excited right now.
My actual mindset is I will never see this person again. So yeah, whatever they think about me does not matter.
Right.
Like, it just, I've realized it's more fun that way.
Yeah.
But this was, I was really embarrassed with this thing.
Packed elevator.
I was angry, and it was because I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
But we got on an elevator, which I think we've talked about this on the podcast, but it's probably been 4 years.
Maybe.
Probably since it happened. That was probably 5 years ago.
Yeah.
We got on an elevator, and this guy struck up a conversation with me, and he very clearly had a French accent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just
very thick French.
Yeah, accent. And he was just talking to me about Chicago. I mean, this was like shoulder-to-shoulder elevator, and not
we
like...
We were packed in there.
Not like the one that you take at the hospital where four people can fit in. It's like...
No.
It's like the one that can fit also the hospital bed. Like, it's a big elevator.
There were 18 people in this
elevator. Yeah, it was very crowded. Pre-COVID. This was probably 2016 or 15.
Okay.
I bet it was 2016. And we were packed in there. This dude was speaking to me and very clearly had a French accent. And we were talking. And honestly, I never forget the thought in my head was like, he's talking to me. Do I engage? Okay. Like, I was like, I almost didn't even have the conversation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then instead,
but you went for it.
I said, he started talking about being from France. And I said, oh, you're from France? He said, yes. And I said, do you love wine?
So you must love wine.
Yeah. That was a bad idea. The dude literally cracked his neck.
Yeah, he was getting ready.
Ripped into
me. It was like a guy at home plate, like getting the bat ready to swing.
Yeah, it was bad. Like, the line I'll never forget is, oh, so I'm from France, so I must brush my teeth with wine.
Oh, you have wine for breakfast?
And you have wine for
I brush my teeth with wine.
He's like, what do you think? I brush my teeth with wine? And I was just like,
and we
what have
all,
I done?
And I mean, Matt King's face, I mean, he was just like, I've never been so happy in my entire life.
I got off the elevator and I was looking for help. I was like, that was ridiculous, right? And everyone was like, yeah, you kind of deserved it. And I was like, what? And yeah, like three people were like, yeah, you walked into that one. You deserved that a little bit. I was like, I was just trying to, I didn't even want to talk to the guy. I don't think I've ever been so defensive in my life. I was so angry, but it was all because I was embarrassed.
Okay. So here's the addendum to the conversation. So we're walking down the hallway. Thomas is very upset, very hurt, very defensive. And then we're walking through the lobby of this same hotel and there's a big circle of people. And in the middle of that circle of people is that French guy telling the story to those people, and they're all cracking up, and we had to walk past him, and he's like, I brush my teeth with wine? And they all crack
bad.
Up.
Oh, like, gosh. You know, sometimes...
And I could not wait to tell Glenn.
Oh, wow.
And that was it. Know. And then he was so excited to hear it. And then I think, like, when you got back to Oak Ridge, it was the first thing Brad Warren said to you, like, what?
No, Brad was on that trip.
He was there?
I thought so. Okay. I think it was an adult trip.
I thought it was an adult trip, but I thought it was one of those deals where, like, I thought we told him once we got back
that he lit into you
at church.
It was
would I have wine for breakfast?
I've never, in my adult life, I don't think I've been that embarrassed. Like, it was like, and it immediately came out with me being defensive and angry. I was just like,
blessed.
That guy's such a jerk. Why would he do so? And then it was you who said, yeah, you kind of And I went to you thinking, oh, he'll have my back. And I was like, dang.
I'm sorry. Welcome to Ancient New, where we always have each other's backs.
Not true.
Bible study podcast. You want
not true.
Do you want to take us to the scriptures now?
Sure.
Oh, I think you're still upset.
I just... But you know, like sometimes you like this thing happens where you like walk away from a conversation and you're like, oh, I should have done this or this. I should have said this.
Yeah.
And that was the one where I should have just not responded and been a jerk instead of trying to engage someone who wanted to have a conversation with me. Instead, he should have realized, oh, this is a young guy who's trying to get... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just...
6 years later.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Yeah, we're going to be in Romans 4, which I'm going to be reading. He's quoting a scripture
from Psalm 32.
Oh, good. That's a good one.
Which is cool. I don't know why I'm tired. I better get it together because yeah, we're going to be...
You got a marathon coming
We're staring
up.
Down the barrel of a long week.
Yeah.
Christy Fox was over at my house yesterday and she was just like, you ready? I was like, yeah. Yeah. We're about to hit a 7-day stretch of sprint underwater somehow. It's going to be awesome. Romans 4. I'm going to start in verse 4, I believe.
Ready.
Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Mm. I just did the thing where you don't know which one's right, so you do both.
You do them both, yeah.
Yeah, that's a common
pronunciation
thing.
Pronunciation-wise, yeah.
Yeah, pronunciation-wise. So, obviously, I think the thing I want to hone in on, it's just one of those things where I read this morning, actually, and I thought to myself, okay, we're about to have a week where insecurity is going to be an option, especially this weekend, I think, just because we're doing a thing that it can make you feel insecure, wow, all weekend and, or out of place. And I'm going to feel old this weekend, which is hard for me. One thing I've realized the older I get, it's hard for me to feel old. Like it bothers me because I like playing so much.
Yeah.
And so,
but you also don't want people to see you as a child.
Please don't. Like, I don't want people to see me as a child, but I also love...
So there's like a Goldilocks age that you want everybody to see you as.
Well, it's like, I can see myself as that, but you better realize that I'm 27. I have a kid on the way. I own a house.
Right.
I work a full-time job.
Right.
I have since I was 22. I don't, you know, just like that type of stuff. Right. Like, that drives me nuts when people act that way towards me. When people talk to me with like childproof voices, I'm like,
yeah,
chill. When people refer to me as a young kid, I'm like,
put the child safety locks on.
I just can't grow a beard. It's fine. Like everything's fine. Like anyways, but so there's a lot of that there's a lot of things that could make me feel insecure in the coming days. And this is cool because there are things that I know are super true about myself, and that I'm a total sinner and the Lord has paid for it. So therefore what is being said and quoted from Psalm 32 and Romans 4 is absolutely true about me, which is that I'm blessed. And I think that's awesome because it says, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And it's like, oh, that's me. Like that applies directly to me. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Like, not only does that apply directly to me, it's also cool to remember, like, hey, my sin is never going to count against me. Mm. And like, that's the truth of the gospel. But sometimes when you read it so plain and clear, you're just like, oh, wow, that's still really good news today.
Yeah.
Because I still do stupid things and I still say unkind things. Like to a person on the elevator or to the people at my home warranty who I pay money to and they don't help me. And then for some reason I get a little bit upset on the phone
for a very specific reason.
Yeah. But anyways, it's cool for me. It's encouraging to read this because in moments when I'm going to feel insecure and I'm going to wonder, like, I'm someone who, like, read into love languages as much as you want, whatever. But for me, I know that mine is like, I like to be affirmed and not, yeah, not in a way that I'm like, you know, I think at 27, I've got that tempered down. I'm not running around like,
you're not looking for flattery.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm awesome. Right. But like, it always helps me to hear how someone feels about me. It's a kind thing. Yeah. I'll never forget. Like I told this, it makes me sad. Cause I told this at, his, you know, I was giving him a toast at his rehearsal dinner and everyone laughed at the statement I made. And I was like, no, I'm being serious. Like, don't laugh at this. But like the first time I had dinner or lunch with Rob Logan, like the first time we ever hung out one-on-one, we went to Brown Bag. This is like probably 2016 or 2015. Like we had just, like he had just started coming to Triple C. I didn't really, we'd heard each other's names forever. And I was like, let's go sit down and get lunch. And like, you know, we had lunch. It was awesome. But I don't remember what we talked about, but I remember being in the parking lot and we were about to part ways and Rob said to me, like, he said, see ya, love you, man. And like, it was just like, we don't really know each other.
Yeah.
But the thing I felt is I've never doubted that from Rob ever since.
Yeah.
Like just because of
absolutely
how sweet and kind he is and how encouraging and how much of a sweet friend he is. Like you just, I've never doubted it ever since.
Yeah. He's not just good at Photoshop. Like he's also just really,
he's not the best social media follow I know. Just, he's not the best content creator I know, especially in the, like, I know he just moved to Oak Ridge, but in the Powell area, he's probably the best content creator I mean,
it would be hard to argue with that. I mean, the content that he comes up with is consistent, creative, strong.
It's very good.
Yeah.
He's very good at it.
But he's also just a gentle and kind guy.
Yeah, he's gentle and kind. And he's also extremely, he just tells you how he feels about you. He's not afraid of sap. He's not afraid of syrup and mush. He just, and same thing, you know, like all my best friends, like you, Jeffrey Mason, Potsy, like Tom, I like the people I gravitate towards are people who are affectionate and kind towards me. And it's because like, it's not because I'm, well, maybe I'm sure I am a needy person, but it's not because I can't operate or exist without it. But it's just like, this is what I need in a relationship, which is funny. It sounds super needy, but everybody needs certain things in their relationships.
Sure.
You know, I think it's true, but it's cool because this is one that I can just go back to if I'm wondering something that's true about me.
Wow.
When I know what's very true about me, which is that I am a sinner who's going to screw up, I can come to this and think like, yeah, but it's true and it applies to me that my transgressions are forgiven and my sins are covered and the Lord will never count them against me. Therefore, I'm blessed.
I love where you landed the plane on this, and it's so interesting coming from, like the Psalm 32 was written by David, and I don't think it's much of a stretch to say that he needed that as well. He liked affirmation. He wanted to know where he stood with people and everything, and he had those same insecurities. And I like that. I like that you know, it's not that, how do you say this? It's not like the point of the Bible, like the only point of the Bible is like, it's a place where you can reference some gems when you need to pick me up. But like, that's not the whole point of the Bible, but like, there are some very clear places that you can turn to where the Lord will tell you, this is your status with me.
Yeah.
We are good. Like, and I love that blessed thing just cause it's just a word that means happy. And you know, it's just like, I'm happy when I remember and believe that the Lord will never count my sin against me.
Yeah.
That's just, it's a good place to be. And I also think it's really interesting that you pointed out, I can't remember exactly the phrase that you used, but it struck me that you're like, this weekend has a potential, you know, this weekend that we're taking a bunch of guys to Young Life Camp this weekend, that this weekend has a potential for some insecurities.
Yeah. Like I'm going to have to wear an ankle brace to play pickup basketball.
Right.
Because if I don't, I will break my ankle and then I will get rolled out of there on a stretcher. And,
you know, so like, when your foot flops, it's gross and hilarious. and sad.
Yeah, it hurts really bad.
You know, it's funny. We're going to Carolina Point this weekend, and our buddy Bill Reeser is the camp director for a college weekend at Clearwater Cove, which I just realized, like, that means he gets to hang out with Beezer.
What a fun time.
That would be so fun.
Yeah, the new landscape manager there.
If Beezer could just randomly show up at Carolina Point this weekend and we just got to walk around with him, that would be so fun.
Oh, so fun.
So fun. Okay, I want to look at Isaiah chapter 62. Or do you got more?
Hey, I can talk about the scriptures all day, baby.
But you got more on that one?
I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to wrap it up, put a little bow on it.
All right, Isaiah chapter 62. This is really, really cool. There's a specific place in here, but I like a lot of this. So I want to read a few verses just so that you can pick up something even different than I'm seeing.
Cool.
For Zion's sake.
What verse? Sorry.
One.
I see it now. Okay.
For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. That's two different ways of saying the exact same thing. Zion is Jerusalem. Till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name by the mouth of that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah. So Hephzibah means my delight is in her, and Beulah means, it either means like married or like, it literally means husband land. Like this is like you have a husband, you have the one that's going to take care of you.
Maddie is in husband land.
Yeah, exactly. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a maiden, so your builder will marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. I've posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You will call on the Lord. This is it. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. Obviously, like, a lot of really, really beautiful and cool things happening here, which, like, Isaiah, like, I'm getting towards the end of Isaiah. I'm in chapter 62, but, like, Isaiah is hard for a while. Like, he wails on some people a lot. And then, like, it just takes a turn, and it just gets so over the top, like, the promises and the sweetness and the grace and the, it just gets so good and so rich. It's like a double fudge brownie. That's just like, it's so rich. You can only have like 1/4 of one. You have to like share it with somebody. It's just so good. But this is what I specifically want to look at. This thing in verse 6, like halfway through verse 6, like, by the way, do you remember being a Baptist and how they would split verses in half and call them like A or B, like Isaiah 62, 6B.
No.
Yeah, that was a Baptist thing.
That's interesting.
So like in the second half of verse 6, it says, "You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest." And I love that idea of prayer. Like, I'm whatever I call on the Lord about, I'm going to wear him out about. And I've got some things right now that I'm praying for. And I love that that verse comes in the midst of all these promises about how God is going to finish everything, how the story is going to be wrapped up and written and ended, and how good it's going to be and how kind it's going to be and how he's going to, you know, he's just going to establish righteousness and glory, and it's just going to be great, you know. And he's like, so you folks that are praying for all this stuff, like, don't stop, keep going, give yourself no rest in your praying. And like, and then just this thing that, like, we've talked about this idea on the podcast before, but like, there are moments in scripture where you're reading them and you're like, if we were making up a religion, we would never, I just don't think anybody would come up with this. Like, because if you were making up this religion about this one God who's all powerful and will not share his glory and all that kind of stuff, like the reverence and the respect that you would like underline that at every point. And I think that would keep you from coming up with this next phrase that happens in this verse. So, see if you get what I'm saying right here. So you who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest. And then check this out in verse 7. And give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem. Like, there's a note of irreverence and familiarity. Like, it drops formality right there. It's like, all right, give yourself no rest. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. I'm praying to the Lord. I'm going to give myself no rest. I'm going to just keep knocking on his door. And it's like, by the way, don't let him off the hook either. Wear him out. Like, and I just think that is such a cool thing where you're like, the Lord put this idea in the prophet's heart. And it to me, it calls forward to that parable that Jesus teaches in Luke chapter 18 about prayer, where he just says, like, about the woman who is like, is begging the unjust judge. And he's like, this is how it says, it's Luke says, one time Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray and to never give up. Yeah. And he talked about this woman who goes to the unjust judge and just says, like, just keeps asking and asking and asking. And it says, not because, not because he thought she deserved it or he was merciful, but because she was literally just frustrating him. Like, she just wouldn't give up. She wouldn't stop. And he uses a phrase in the original language that's like, she's giving me a black eye. Like, she just keeps punching me in the face. So I'll give her justice. Not because I care about justice, but because she's wearing me out. And I love that this is like, that is established in the Old Testament too, of like, God says to Isaiah, like, don't give yourself rest. Keep asking God for what you want in the midst of understanding how I'm going to answer all these things and how good and how glorious and everything it's going to be. And also, like, don't let God off the hook. Just keep wearing him out.
Yeah. I think that's cool because there's another place in 1 Thessalonians where he just says, pray without ceasing.
Right.
And you, like, you can read that and it's so quick that it could be one of those things you're just like, okay, pray without ceasing, sweet. Yeah, I'm just going to flip over. But I just Googled it, by the way, and it says the first thing that popped up was, what does the Bible mean by saying pray without ceasing? Yeah. And I'm like, what do you mean? What does it mean? It doesn't sound any more clear than that.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah.
But what, like, there's a cool thing where, like, you think about, like, the omnipotence of God and the all-knowingness of him and the fact that he, you know, had plans that have been in place since before the foundations. Like, he knows.
Yeah.
But there's something cool that happens when we do that. Like,
yeah.
When I think about myself at my best, it's when I'm having conversations with the Lord all the time. And it's because it's me saying, like, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's me just having full trust in the fact that he's in charge of everything.
Yeah.
There's no reason I would ask him for anything if I didn't believe that. I would have no reason to ask him for what I need if I didn't think he was the one who gave it to me or he was the one who could control any of that.
Yeah,
it's me saying, like,
you're not asking a third grader for that kind of help.
Right. It's me being needy and wanting and realizing out of necessity that I have to be in that position, which puts everything else falls in place. If I'm not in that place in my life where I realize I need stuff, then I am just straight up like, I can't stop looking at these birds and it's distracting me. I'm so sorry. They're so cool. But like, if I'm not at a place where I'm asking the Lord all the time for things I need, then I'm pretty crummy, but everything else falls into place after it. Like,
yeah.
If I realize that I'm needy, then I realize that I just can't make it on my own. Then I realized I needed a savior really bad and I have one. And then all of a sudden I'm grateful. And like, it's just like everything falls into place. There's something cool that happens in us through prayer that, and I've learned this from you and from other people, but there's obviously something good out of it for us. Just like praising the Lord and singing to him does something in us that we, you know, you can't explain. But it's also good for us to do that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm at my best when that is what's going on in my life. When I don't stop praying, when I get to a place where I am like, when I sit down in my truck and I close the door and the first thing I do is start talking to the Lord. When I'm asking him about something, when I'm telling him about how I'm feeling, when I'm thanking him for something, when I I don't know. When I have that leads me to moments throughout the rest of my day where I'm walking down the street with somebody beside me and I see a bird that just flew by and I'm like, that's beautiful. Thanks, Lord. Like in my heart, I'm doing mm-hmm. that. Like they all spurn on other things. And I don't know where yeah. I'm going with this other than like, it is like me being needy and wanting and out of necessity, having to talk to the Lord, is me at my best. And I don't know. I don't know what else to say about that.
And
besides
reasonable. And I also love that it comes, this verse of like, give yourselves no rest and give the Lord no rest comes out of the context of the earlier verses in this chapter where he says like, no longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate. You'll be called Hephzibah. Yeah. Which means his delight is in her mm-hmm. and your land will be called Beulah. It's your husband land. You are loved. You are provided for. Someone has made a huge commitment of their whole life to you. And out of that, take your neediness to him, ask him for whatever you want. I love that.
Yeah.
A second ago when you were talking about getting in the door or closing the door on your truck and then taking off and starting to pray. I was surprised by that because my experience when you turn your truck on is that your phone gets Bluetoothed and then like this one Coldplay song just takes over. Like whenever
it doesn't do that anymore.
It doesn't do it anymore.
No,
there was a time there.
I completely disconnected Bluetooth from my phone and my radio because okay. of that. I was just like,
there was a time.
Alphabetically, this is the first song on my phone, and it's just like...
Yes, there was a Coldplay song that started up on Thomas's phone every time he started the car, just this one song.
I'm like, God, if I hear that guitar riff again, I'm going to puke. It drives me crazy.
With delay and just like, yeah. What was the name of that song?
That one was Adventure of a Lifetime.
Adventure of a Lifetime.
Yeah.
Because it's
yes, yeah, you're just exactly. like, well, there's not many other songs that start... Like Across the Universe used to be it, but I deleted yeah. it off my phone because wow. of that. Because you would get the bum, 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 bum. Yeah. Like I literally, when I listen to Let It Be now, I skip yeah. that song because drives me crazy. Because like, I think there used to be a thing where you could look at your iTunes and see how, like which song yeah. you played the most.
Yes.
And Across the Universe would be like 1200.
Because it was every single time you started your truck.
And it was just like, oh my gosh.
That's amazing. Guys, I'm Lee.
I'm scratching a dog right now. My name's Thomas.
Thanks for joining us. This has been Ancient and New.
Snip, snip, snip.
Oh!
She just sneezed at Thomas. See you guys.